Welcome back to the Pet Cash Pod presented by ProFluence Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Pet Cash. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, we are nearing 130 episodes, which is incredible to even say out loud. And I was at an event over the weekend, had a ton of great compliments. You guys would be amazed at the really cool people that tune in and listen to these conversations, yourself included. And if you ever want to get more descriptions or see all of them in one place, profluence.com/podcast, and we're also on all the audio platforms. Today we had a great one with Evan Parker. He is the CEO of Mantle. It's a collectible content community platform. He goes deep into detail. They're still in beta and MVP. They just raised some money from some cool firms. Alexis Ohanian is one of the co-founders. He obviously was the founder of Reddit, husband Serena Williams, owns a bunch of pro sports teams. Evan, little background, vice president of content at NASCAR prior to building Mantle, and also senior vice president and a general manager at The Athletic. So he knows about community, he knows about sports, he knows about content. Leads to a great conversation. Lots of good nuggets here. Let's dive in. Evan, appreciate you hopping on today. Excited for this one. Collectibles, actually haven't had anyone from this space on. So welcome to Breaking the ProFluence Podcast, popping the cherry for the collectible space.
That's a lot of pressure, but thanks for having me.
A lot of pressure. But you know, give us a little bit of your background, the rundown into here. You don't need to go too deep into it, but just to set some context of how you got to this point and what you've worked on. You've been in sports for a good bit of time now.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in the sports industry for my whole career. So I started out agency side and representing Xbox and a bunch of clients in the sports and entertainment space, doing PR and marketing and partnerships. I was at NASCAR for 8 years, did a bunch of stuff there, partnerships and entertainment marketing and content and things like that. And then the last 4 years I was at the Athletic. And so I joined that company when it was a kind of a mid-stage startup and got to help it survive through the pandemic and get to a good enough place. The New York Times bought us in 22, worked for the Times for a year. And then just a year ago now, I left the Athletic, left the New York Times to join Alexis Ohanian and Brent Montgomery to start Mantle, which is a community platform for collectors. For the last year, I've just been grinding with those guys and trying to bring something to life in the startup space that hopefully can bring community content to people who just love to collect.
Yeah, from a partnership side, how did you go about building your relationships? Obviously, it seems like you leveraged one to the next and to the next and to the next until eventually you were in the position to, you know, jump and do your own thing with some cool people as well.
Yeah, it's so cliche, but everybody always says, like, you know, relationships, especially in sports, are the most important thing. And I think that that has proven out for me and for so many other people that I interact with on a daily basis. I just don't think in this industry you can make it, you can grow without having people in your corner who are looking out for you, who are sending you opportunities, who are willing to hire you. And I got really lucky my entire career. It's not like this linear path that I got this job and I went to this other job and I kind of just climbed that way. It's all been based on relationships I've been able to build and people that I've been able to interact with who have been able to help me get from point A to point B. You know, my first job out of college, somebody I knew from high school helped me get my foot in the door for an internship, which got me my job. And I was able to transfer from a PR role to a sports and entertainment role because of a relationship I had within the agency. And that guy ended up leaving and going to CAA and became a big agent. And he was the one that recommended me for the job at NASCAR. And I was able to go that way and meet a bunch of people through my NASCAR journey that ended up recommending me to the Athletic. Which is what put me on the path to then be introduced to Brent and to Alexis and ultimately get this opportunity with Mantle. So it's always been about relationships. I just feel like in this industry, if you treat people well, if you work hard, if you do right by people and you maintain relationships, you reach out to people when you don't need something, but just because you want to say hi and you want to connect, it's shocking how far that goes just to like actually talk to people without asking them for favors. You know, it's like it's such an easy thing to do. But not that many people do it. And if you're the one that doesn't ask for much, then somebody might think about you and send something your way that you wouldn't otherwise expect.
And from a content perspective, how does The Athletic view it? Obviously, that's their whole business model versus NASCAR, which you could really say is just a media entity. How do they view content differently You know, were there differences, similarities? I'm curious on more the media side versus the sports league side.
At NASCAR, content was, you know, I remember hearing from one of the execs at NASCAR when I started that we were the sizzle and the racing was the steak. And our job was to make sure everything that was happening on the track got highlighted, that we put our athletes, our drivers in the best possible situations to make sure that we were building the sport. We were doing right by the fans. We were doing right by our sponsors. But at the end of the day, what we were working on was always the sideshow. We were doing TV shows and films around our drivers and around the sport. We were doing social media content and articles on the website and graphics and things like that that help enhance it from a fan standpoint. But if you got rid of all of that and you just put the cars on the track, people would still watch, right? Like they weren't watching because of me, but I was hoping that everything that we were doing was going to make that more fun, more relatable, and introduce the sport to new audiences, which I think we were able to do. The Athletic, it's different, right? The Athletic isn't the sport. They're not creating any of the things that people are watching. Their job is to be there and cover it in the best possible way. So we were always the sizzle in a way. We were never the steak. And that was very intentional. You never wanted to be the story at the Athletic. We never wanted people focusing on us as the business. We wanted people paying to read the best possible content about sports. And my whole job and the job of the team that I worked on was to do everything possible to put our writers in the best situation to go out there and just focus on the writing. So we're going to be able to build a programming strategy and a content strategy. We're going to have a social strategy. We're going to have graphic strategy. We're going to be doing all this work to ensure that when you get to the game, when you get to the match, whatever it is that you're covering, all you have to do is think about the best story to tell, get your quotes, get your interviews, uncover the best stuff. We'll make sure people read it. We'll make sure that we can monetize it. And you just worry about going out there and covering the events. And so that was a dream come true. I went to, you know, journalism school and I never worked a day as a journalist, but getting to find a point in my career where my entire job was helping journalists was an unbelievable experience.
And now at Mantle, you have a mix of these communities, right? NASCAR, the fans view that as a community. Athletic, your community is your subscriber base. Obviously, content's fueling all that. How are you merging that together? How are you thinking about it from a collectible space, taking what seems to be pretty synergistic learnings from previously into what you're doing now?
You know, everything that I've worked on in my career has been about passion and about harnessing that passion to build business and to build community. And so if it was at Edelman, the agency I worked on or worked for, we had clients and how do we take a product or brand and get that brand to grow because of something about it that people love and are passionate about. So Xbox, it was gamers, and we're going to work with gamers and figure out the best ways to tell stories and partnerships and things like that. So they're going to go out there and buy an Xbox 360 instead of buying a PlayStation or something like that. And NASCAR, how do we get people to engage with us on social or go to our events or watch the races at the Athletic? How do we get people to band together to really care about sports journalism and pay money to read articles? So that was, you know, at the end of the day, those are all passion-driven businesses, and collectibles is exactly that. If you're a collector, it feels like it's part of your DNA. Feels like it's something that you've got this kind of compulsion to do. You're always looking to go down these rabbit holes and learn more and acquire things or find things or talk to your friends about things. And so what we're trying to do is bring that passion together and give it a platform where it's not about the buying and the selling. You know, we don't sell anything on our platform. It's not a marketplace. We're not asking you to come in and put the things that you own up for sale and transact. We don't have to worry about that. We do content, but we're not a journalism company. So we're not, you know, hard news going out there and trying to uncover what's going on in the ecosystem and break open stories and tell stories from that standpoint. But when things happen in the industry, if you go out and buy something big, come back to Mantle and talk about it. If there's a big news story, Fanatics just announced they're going to have Fanatics Fest and it's going to be this big Comic-Con type event in the collectibles world. Come to Mantle and have a discussion about it. Is this good? Is this bad? What does it mean? Are you going to go? Find people that you want to hang out with. We've got people on our platform now. As soon as the Fanatics news broke, they're saying, hey, we should do a meetup in New York City in August when that Fanatics event's happening. And so we're trying to give people, basically build a social network for people to come together about these things that they all love, this thing that they're all connected to, which is collecting and using these collectibles as a way to bridge the gaps and bring people together who may not have anything else in common, but these items that they all love and they all want to talk about and be closer to.
Do you have a certain collectible for yourself? Is it baseball cards or something? Like, seems like you talked about passion throughout your career, that you must have some sort of collector item, yourself that made you, you know, jump on this idea?
I've got more than one, which is why this is the business that I'm dedicating my career to. You know, I've always, since I was a kid, just sort of been deep into collecting something always. So, you know, baseball cards, basketball cards growing up. I got into watches as soon as I could tell time, essentially, and I've had a watch on my wrist ever since. You know, you look around the house, look around my office, it's art. I've got records, I've got toys, I've got memorabilia, tons of cards everywhere, too many at this point. I've just started getting, I'm not a big comic book guy, but I find stories so interesting. For me, collectibles at the end of the day is really about the story or what kind of the emotion it ties you to. And so I found these comic books that I never even read, that I didn't have any connection to, but like the backstory of them was super interesting. There's this Lois Lane comic book that came out. I think it's like Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, is basically the title of the comic book. And it was a series back in the 1950s and 60s up into the 70s about Lois Lane. And it's all like this misogynistic sort of like Superman's girlfriend. And I've got one that's a cover of like these two guys, Superman and this other guy, bending on bended knee, asking her for her hand in marriage. 3 years later, in the middle of the civil rights movement, Lois decides that she wants to learn what it feels like to experience racism. And so it's like this thing, I don't have a connection to the comic, but when you look at the comic through like the lens of history and how at the time these things were pretty revolutionary and they were telling sort of the heartbeat of what people were spending their time and energy thinking about, that's the kind of stuff that just gets me really excited and interested. And so I end up just buying a lot of the stuff or finding and acquiring it, going to garage sales and thrift stores and things like that, and little by little pulling it all together. A lot of what I have is not worth anything. You know, if I sold everything that I've got, all my collectibles combined, it wouldn't make a huge difference to the bank account. But for me, it's about the stories that they tell. It's about the emotion that they elicit. It's about the nostalgia that they bring up, and really about the community. I've got a lot of friends that I've met through this world, and especially since over the last year, I've been dedicated to it. And I love that these items can have different meanings to different people, but it connects us together in a really meaningful way.
And on Mantle, do you see certain pockets of these? You know, what are some of the main collectibles that you're seeing? Is it a tie to sports a little bit? Are you seeing it more outside and like a comic book, a mix of everything? What's it looking like now? And you're in the early days still. I'm sure at scale you want everything, but what out the gate, did you focus on some like certain niches to get rolling?
We did. So we launched February 13th with our MVP. So it's still a beta product right now. And our strategy was to focus as much as possible around sports because that's my background. Alexis, you know, owns LAGC. He owns Angel City. Brent got his start selling baseball cards. So we're three real big sports guys, and we have a lot of connections in the sports industry. It just made sense for us to start in sports cards as much as possible. That said, we built a platform that you could talk about anything, right? And so we have people today. There are a bunch of posts about sneakers. There's a post about a Marvel comic book card. There are comic book things every single day. There's coin stuff. There's stamp stuff. There's NFT stuff. Watches on a pretty regular basis. So, you know, we wanted to build a platform where we're not telling people that you can't talk about this. Hey, come back in a couple months when we're ready to talk about watches. No, I mean, if you want to talk about watches today, talk about watches. But I would say that probably 70% of the conversation is sports or sports adjacent, memorabilia or cards are really the crux of what people are spending a lot of time talking about, because that's where we're focused from a user acquisition strategy and from a content strategy, because it's just too difficult on day one to go after the entire world. And so we're trying to be as focused as we can as we bring people along to give them the best possible experience.
And you mentioned you're still at the early stages from an MVP. As you came into the entrepreneurship world, what were some of the learnings? Obviously, we had talked about some of the places you were being. It seemed like you led large teams, so you had that management component already. But you know, what have you seen now as you jump and you're really building something from scratch? Where I don't know where NASCAR was in the journey, but I know it was very well established by the time you were there.
Yeah. I mean, I joined NASCAR and it was a, you know, 65, 70 year old company, family run, you know, started in 1948 by the France family, and the people who were running it when I were was there had the last name France, right? Like it was that same company, through and through. Richard Edelman, who's the son of the founder, was running the company. That was, you know, again, a 60, 70 year old company when I was there, very well established, thousands of employees. The Athletic was a startup, but I wasn't there on day one. You know, I joined when it was 4 or 5 years old. And then we sold it to the New York Times, which is a 150, 160 year old company, very well established, still run by the family that was, there at the beginning of the founding of the company. So I had a lot of experience in these very corporate, family run, massive businesses. And I always felt like my job was to take something that had already existed and make it better, take a team that was probably there before and hopefully make it better. But it wasn't like I was creating something from day one. With Mantle, originally Alexis and Brent had this idea and they came to me and said, okay, we've got, a 6-slide deck essentially with a couple of lines of here's what the idea should be about. I had a different name, didn't have really a business plan built out, certainly not a product. And they said, okay, let's now figure out what we're going to do with it. And so every single thing that's been built has been built where I've at least had a hand in it. If I didn't do it myself, I touched it in some way. And that's an experience that I hadn't had before. And so every day I'm learning something new. We're going through product road mapping. And at The Athletic, I got to be a part of that, but I didn't run it. I wasn't managing the engineers at The Athletic, and I get to do that now. Naming this company and coming up with the design for the logo and figuring out our strategy and every single person that's been hired since and getting to be a part of that. I mean, it's just getting your hands in every single element. It's drinking from the fire hose beyond anything I expected. I learned a lot. I worked very closely with Alex Mather and Adam Hansman, the founders of The Athletic, and got to see them and what they went through building that company and ultimately exiting that company. But it's so different to witness that than it is to be in the middle of it yourself. And to witness it when I did after a year or two of them struggling that I didn't get to see. And then I came in and they already had funding and they already had, a business that was on the right trajectory, to now every day you wake up and, hey, is anybody using our site? Do we have any users? Has the site broken? Is all hell breaking loose? And every day that feeling is something that I didn't have to worry about before. At NASCAR, the cars were going to race with or without me. My job was just to hopefully make more people watch. But if I went away like I did, the sports continues. Somebody else will take my job. It'll thrive. With Mantle, it feels like if I don't go online today, like, is anybody going online? If I'm not doing something, is anybody doing something? And that's a feeling that's very new, and it's frightening every single day. But it's also incredibly exciting because you just get to feel like everything that you're doing has impact, and everything that you're doing is helping to shape what this business can become.
And for the co-founders at The Athletic, any learnings or things you saw them do that you're able to now apply yourself, or even on the reverse, maybe things you saw where you're like, I would do it differently?
Both. And, I'm really fortunate. I'm still close with both the founders. Adam Hansman is an investor in Mantle, and so I talk to him all the time. I throw him way more questions than he probably some days even wants me to, of just, hey, how do you approach this? Or what do you think about this and everything? Because I really trust what those guys have been through and their experience. And they're both incredibly smart guys and entrepreneurs. So I learned a lot from them. I think, learning how to set up a company, The Athletic, while we spent a lot of money on user acquisition, we hired a lot of people. We were very careful about how we used our money, and we ran as lean as we possibly could, given how expensive a business that is to run. And that's something I take with me every day now, of making sure that I'm a good steward of the dollars that we've raised, and making sure that our investors can trust that every single penny that they gave us is going to be used to build the business, and not used on steak dinners and flying around the world and speaking on panels or anything. Like, no, this money has to go to growing Mantle. And that's something that getting to see how they did it was really helpful for me. How they structured the company, how they made sure people interacted well with each other, that there weren't a lot of big dividing lines in the company, and that people were working on a lot of different things and collaborative. All of that stuff has been very helpful. Now I'm building a very different business, right? I mean, The Athletic was a staff of 600 people. It was a newsroom, massive newsroom, globally dispersed, people all over the place, an HQ group that had engineering and finance and marketing and operations and things like that. Mantle is a 3-person company right now from a full-time standpoint, and we've got engineers that we use and we work with, and some contractors here and there, but it's very small, very lean. It's going to be that way until we can find product market fit. It's going to be that way until we can go out there and say, okay, we've figured this out. We know how to acquire users. We know how to make sure that the product that we've built is the best possible thing on the market. And so there's a lot that I learned from those guys, but there's a lot that we're sort of doing in this new version within Mantle that just doesn't map back to anything I've done before, which again, really cool, really scary. But I'm surrounded by a lot of people who have either done stuff like this before, or at least smart enough that I can go to them and say, hey, I know neither of us have tried this before, but what do you think?
Now, did you have to go through the fundraising process yourself, or was that sort of assisted with Alexis and those guys? It seems like you were sort of the third one, the right guy to come in and really run the day-to-day, but they might have had some stuff soft-circled beforehand.
You know, nothing exactly soft-circled, but the best thing about Alexis and Brent are these guys have massive Rolodexes, and people love working with them and want to be a part of whatever they're doing. And so, you know, while I led the fundraising process and had to go out there and raise capital to make sure that this company could be built and could survive, when I said their names in any meeting, people perked up. If I needed an intro to somebody, I could go to either of them and say, hey, do you know this person, or have you worked with this person before? Can you put in a good word? It wasn't as hard. I'm not saying it was easy, but it wasn't as hard as me coming out on my own and saying, okay, now I've got to go find all these people and I have to go pitch people completely cold. And I don't have people like Brent and Alexis behind me to help make those conversations go. I was also really fortunate that The Athletic did right by its investors. And I have a couple people on the cap table who invested in The Athletic, and I got to know when I was there. And so a couple of our investors at Mantle are people who I'd worked with at previous stops, and who understood what it was that I did for that company and could trust that I was going to do right by them with this company. So I think that we just had a really good opportunity. It's not the greatest fundraising environment right now. And I feel very fortunate that because of Brent, because of Alexis, because of that story, because of the success of The Athletic, we had an easier time than I think a lot of other companies in a similar stage might have.
No doubt. And as you get through MVP, where do you see Mantle going? What do you got on the roadmap? What's next? What are some of the plans as you or what are some of the tests that you're going to be running to see, you know, as you go from beta and MVP to, all right, we're live, here it is, let's go do it.
You know, everything that we're doing now is trying to figure out how to give our existing customers or members the best possible experience so that they feel like this is a place they want to go spend their time. We have, you know, when you think about competition in the space, there's not really anybody doing exactly what we're doing, but people are spending their time talking about collectibles, talking to other collectors on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, on message boards, on Discord. So even though those companies aren't built to do what we do, they do a lot of those elements and people are already there. They're comfortable there. They know people there. And so how do we make sure that our experience is as good, if not better, than all those other places, but also very specifically built for this audience? And so on Mantle right now, if you want to go look up the price of a card to see if it's the value is changing over time, you can do that right on our platform through a partnership we have with Card Hedge. You don't have to leave and go do that somewhere else. If you want to show off the things that you own, you can put them on what we call the Mantle piece. And so you have a display case within your profile on Mantle that you can show off the things that are in your collection. So you can show people, hey, this is me. I'm Evan. These are the cards that I collect or the comic books I collect. So you get to know me better. You can't do that on a message board. You can't do that on Discord. And so we're trying to make sure that we're creating very purpose-built features for collectors. And then a lot of what we're doing is figuring out how to go into those other places where collectors are spending their time. Either it's local card shops or conventions or Discord and Facebook and Reddit and places like that, and say, hey, I'm not telling you to leave. We're not telling you to stop doing this, but you should come over and check out what we're doing, because this might be a nice companion to where you're spending your time and you could, you know, meet other people who like the same stuff. And a big thing that we're attempting to do, and I'll tell you, it's going to be incredibly hard, especially as we grow, is make sure that Mantle stays positive. And when I say positive, I don't mean that if you post something that I don't like, I have to tell you that it looks amazing. But it means that we shouldn't be jumping down each other's throats, and we shouldn't be, you know, yelling at people and telling them that they're stupid or that the thing that they love is dumb or they wasted their money. There's so much toxicity within the community world online right now. There's a lot of toxicity within the collectibles world. We're trying to build something that's not like that. And the beauty of collectibles, the beauty of the fact that we don't all like the same stuff, is that things then are available that aren't necessarily as expensive. If everybody wants the same card, that card's really, really hard to get, right? But if everybody likes different stuff, you can find things that you love, that you can afford, that you want to be a part of. And so we just want to create a place that if you're an expert, you can come and show off the things that you have and talk about the things that you know really well. And if you're a complete novice, you can ask questions and you can feel like this is a place that you can go and say, hey, never done this before. What do you think? Somebody posted yesterday about they've got a bunch of cards. They've never got a card graded. What's the best way to go do it? How should I pick which grading company should I go for? And the comments to that are positive. They're, hey, this is a resource you should look at. What kind of cards do you have? I could tell you my experience with all these. Some are better than others for certain types of cards. Nobody's saying, hey, idiot, how do you not know this? If you don't know how to grade cards at this point, you should just throw all your cards in, you know, in the river. What are you doing? Like, you see that a lot on Twitter. You see that a lot on Discord. You see that a lot on message boards. We're really trying to build something that's not going to be like that. And you know, that just takes sort of leading by example and making sure that everybody, when they come, has a good experience and feels like they're part of something and that they don't want to mess it up.
I like that. Now, Evan, twofold question as we round out here. Number one, trends in the memorabilia market, anything you're, or the collectible market, anything you're seeing there. And then number two, just trends overall in sports. Obviously, you've been in it. I'm sure there's some other things, whether related to what you're building at Mantle or not, that you're like, oh, yeah, it's cool. I need to keep an eye out there.
Yeah, you know, I think it's actually connected. You know, one of the biggest trends that I'm seeing now is an interest in game-worn, game-used items and things that, you know, athletes kind of taking control of the things that they have been part over that they've been able to touch. And so, you know, Caitlin Clark goes out and she has an incredible career. And what happens with the jersey that she wore throughout her career? Is she going to auction it off? Is she going to give it to a fan? Is she going to keep it forever? And those decisions are now coming up in ways that they didn't used to. When, you know, I met a really big game worn collector through this that used to just go give $300-$400 to a ball boy at the end of a game. And the guy would come back out with a pair of shoes that Kobe Bryant wore or Kobe's jersey from the game. And it wasn't that sophisticated. You just had to know the right people and have to have a few bucks and you could make anything happen. And it's not like that anymore. The NBA has a deal with Sotheby's. There was just an auction for All-Star Game, you know, items that just were used in this past year's All-Star Game. And Alexis actually ended up buying Sabrina Ionescu's jersey that she wore during the three-point contest that she had with Steph Curry. He got that at auction from Sotheby's. And so people are being a lot more thoughtful about what they do with the items off their backs at the end of games, making sure that you know, everything is getting authenticated. You saw it with Ohtani's first home run that he hit at Dodger Stadium. You know, that ball needs to be authenticated. Otherwise, it's just a ball. So what's that process like? And how do we make sure that people are you know, everything that you're getting is authenticated, that it's photo matched? There are a lot of companies now migrate on the photo matching side. The realist is doing interesting things from an authentication standpoint. So you know that the item that you have is real and that it was used at that moment. So I think that's been an interesting trend to see. And you're also seeing a lot of athletes take control of their content creation and their story in a different way. I know that you had, you know, Giannis just launched his production company and you had the CEO of that on not that long ago. And we see that a lot with athletes now telling their stories in different ways. And some of that is owning their collectibles and doing things with their collectibles in ways that Michael Jordan never did or athletes in the past. So I think that we're going to see athletes own their own stories in very different ways, and leagues and teams own stories in different ways, and how that impacts collecting will be really interesting. It'll mean that a lot more stuff will be packaged well and storytelling will be really interesting behind it and things will be authenticated. It may mean that it's harder to get a jersey if you're just at the tunnel and you're yelling for somebody. You're probably not going to get one off the player's back because they're getting savvier about it. I also love in the card world, athletes are signing their cards, you know, through deals with Fanatics and Panini. They're getting a lot savvier about how they do it. So they're putting special inscriptions on things. Wemby had a card that he wrote, you know, drew like little doodles and that he was an alien on his card. That thing's going to sell for a lot more as a result. We saw it with Tom Brady inscribing things when he did the Expos card with Fanatics and Tops, inscribing things differently and making things feel very authentic and very special to separate them from just having the exact same signature on 100 different cards. So I think it's a really exciting time. Fanatics is putting a lot behind all this stuff. There are a lot of these auction houses are getting savvier about how they do it. The media world is paying a little bit more attention. So even though you're starting to see prices dip a little bit over the last year or two from the pandemic highs in terms of auction prices and stuff like that, I think we're getting more and more people interested in collectibles, which will only be good and healthier for the market in general.
Very cool. Yeah, Evan, this is great. Appreciate you coming on. Let us know website, socials, URLs, anything, anywhere. Where can we learn more about Mantle?
So you can find Mantle, www.onmantle.com. MANTEL.com. It's mantle, like the mantle piece above your fireplace, not like Mickey Mantle, the way that he spelled it, although subtle nod to Mickey and everything that that his brand has done for the collectibles world. So www.onmantle.com. We're at OnMantle on all the social platforms. Got a newsletter, and we're just creating a bunch of cool content, a lot of really good conversation. It's a very safe, fun place. So even if you just collect a little bit or you're just interested in collecting and you may not collect anything, watches, NFTs, stamps, coins, you name it, we've got a community building. It's early days and you have an opportunity to come in and help shape it. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you want to see changed. I think the people who are on the platform now feel a lot of ownership over what Mantle is and what it's going to become in a very cool way. And I'm really proud of what we've done after only a couple of weeks. But I know that with more people coming on board, we have a chance to turn this into something incredibly special.
That's awesome. Yeah. Excited to watch the journey and watch the mantle fill up with a lot of new users.
I love it. I want to see what's on your mantle, man. I'm sure over this time you've been able to collect some stuff. I see it looks like you got a jersey behind you. So excited to see. Hopefully you pop on and start interacting with our community as well.